Luke chapter 3, verse 16, John answered them all saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Literally in the Greek, it's he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Epsilon nu, in the Holy Spirit. I experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit back in 1975, and I want to share a little bit of that story with you. I was part of a charismatic prayer group in an Episcopal church, Episcopal Church of the Ascension, and they had prayed over me. I asked them for prayers for baptism of the Holy Spirit. They all laid hands, prayed over me. I experienced just this incredible change in my life, but I really desperately wanted to pray in tongues. And I couldn't. It just would not come. And so I had them pray over me week after week that I would receive the gift of tongues. I prayed at home. I tried everything that they told me to do to receive this gift of tongues, and it just wouldn't come. One night, I heard something in my bedroom while I was asleep, and it woke me up. I knew there was something going on in my bedroom, and I could hear a voice, and I suddenly realized it was me, and I was praying in tongues while I was asleep. But I could not, for the life of me, repeat the experience while I was awake. And that went on for a couple of months anyway. And then one night when we were meeting at the church, we had a dinner together, and then we were going to have our charismatic prayer group meeting. And a homeless man came in to the church, and so we invited him to come and eat with us. And then after he had finished his dinner, we all laid hands on him, and we were praying for him. And I just felt like, man, I've got to get my hand up there. And I put my hand up, and I got him, my hand on top of his head, and boom, the gift of tongues just flowed. And it was so awesome. And so I was asking later, what in the world, why? And the Lord said, you wanted the gift of tongues for you, but I want to give it to you for others. A couple of years later, when I was in seminary, I hate school, by the way. I really do. I mean, I just hate school. I hated going to school as a student. I hated teaching. I hated being in charge of the seminary. I mean, 19 years I was teaching in the seminary. I'm really glad I'm done with that. But anyway, I hated school. But I was in seminary. I was having a really difficult time. Miranda and I were not yet married. And I asked a friend of mine, classmate, Bobby Carruthers, if he would go to the chapel with me. I was the chapel sacristan. I had the key. We could go in and be at the altar. I said, can you come over and pray with me? So Miranda waited in my dorm room, and Bobby and I went down to the chapel, and we knelt down at the altar, and he was praying for me, and I was praying. And I just started praying in tongues. I didn't know what to pray for other than, get me out of here, Lord. But I was praying. So Bobby laid hands on me, and he was praying over me in tongues. And it went on and on and on, but I wasn't feeling one bit better. I just didn't feel like there was anything happening. And so I said, Bobby, let's just stop. And he said, well, don't you realize what just happened? And I said, nope. I have no clue. And he said, well, I was praying for you in tongues. And I said, yeah, and I was praying in tongues too. And he said, but I've never prayed in tongues before. Oh, that's good, God. I'm really happy for Bobby. So I went back to the dorm room. I opened the door. Miranda's sitting on my bed. She said, you'll never guess what happened. And I said, let me guess. You got the gift of tongues. She said, yes! I closed the door and I left.
I tried to explain to him that this was God pointing out how much he cared about him.
But the Holy Spirit is given, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Holy Spirit is given for the common good. The gifts are given for the common good. But there's also another piece to that, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where it says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So the gifts really are for both and, as it were. It will build you up. But it is given for the common good, for the building up of the church, for the spread of the kingdom. In, I guess it was about 4 years ago, Christopher would know, there was a devotional Bible study that came out about 316 and all the different...
the book that I based my thing on.
But anyway, it was... This devotional Bible study went through each of the books of the New Testament and went to chapter 3, verse 16, all started, obviously, because of John 3:16. And you all know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What's Luke 3:16? Well, you just heard it moments ago. John answered them all saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. This verse, as John 3:16 is, as it were, for those who are not yet part of the kingdom, this verse is crucial. It is extremely important for those who are walking in Christ. Because without the Holy Spirit, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are handicapped. The Spirit is given for the common good. We need the Holy Spirit to build ourselves up, edify ourselves, yes. But if the kingdom is going to grow, we all need to experience this incredible experience of baptism in the Holy Spirit. We need to receive the Holy Spirit in a way that is going to enliven and strengthen us, that we may become those servants, those that vehicle through which the Spirit goes out into the world, transforming the society around us. You have received the Holy Spirit. Don't get me wrong. You have already, by virtue of your baptism, you have received the Holy Spirit. What the baptism in the Spirit is, it's that releasing of the Spirit, releasing, as it were, the power of the Spirit and the utilization of the gifts of the Spirit for the building up of the kingdom. That's what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is about. You're not receiving something new. You are accepting what you have already been given and opening the door, as it were, and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in, through, and out of you for the building up of the kingdom of God. We all need the Holy Spirit for our own spiritual lives and for the work of the kingdom. Now, last Sunday, Father Chris told us how we all need to be working on I-26. Isn't that what you said? I believe that's what you said. Anyway. No, we're called to prepare the way. And it's, if you will, it's a parallel in the sense that we are called upon to prepare the way of the Lord, to make straight his paths. And that is something that we need to do for others to help them to come into that relationship with Jesus Christ. But we need to do our own preparation as well, is what he was telling us. And that is so important. It's a both and. The same thing is true in the Spirit. It's a both and. We need the Spirit for the building up of ourselves. We need the Spirit for the preparing, the proclamation, as it were, of the coming of the King. And I was sharing with the other clergy before the service this morning. You know, the Holy Spirit is, he is such he is always surprising us, as it were. I was sharing with Father Chris last Sunday about, I had been talking to my accountability partner, and he was telling me that Bishop Jones had gotten on his case and saying, you need to be preaching every Sunday in your church because you are the one who's been given the vision, and you need to be casting the vision for your church. And he was sharing with me about that, and he was asking me what we do. And I said, no, we go on a rotation. I have each one of the clergy, each one of the priests pray, preaching every third Sunday. That's just the way I feel like it needs to be done. And he said, well, what about that idea of casting the vision? And I said, if I'm casting my vision, they're going to die. And you don't want to hear my vision. You want to hear the vision of God, the Father, through Jesus Christ, in the power of the Spirit, at work in the preacher. And I truly believe the Holy Spirit is working just as strongly in Father David and Father Chris as he is in me. And so the vision is not mine to give. The vision comes from the Father, and it comes through Father David, Father Chris, and me. It can work through you too, in the same way. I'm not inviting all of you to preach, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But the Holy Spirit is the same Spirit who was on Jesus and on the apostles and on the bishops and on the rectors of the parish, on the clergy, and on you and me, all of us. Now, when you were baptized, three things happened to that ASL. Three things were happening. Okay. First, you were incorporated into the body of Christ. When you were baptized, you were made a full member of the body of Christ, of the church. Okay. Secondly, you were marked as Christ's own forever. Nothing can change that. Nothing can take that away. You were marked as Christ's own forever. And third, you receive the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of holy baptism. Okay? Now, that was a great thing for you individually. But there's more. After you are baptized, after you have been chrismated with the holy chrism marked as Christ's own forever, then the congregation says to the newly baptized these words: we receive you into the household of God, confess the faith of Christ crucified, proclaim his resurrection, and share with us in his eternal priesthood. No, that's about you. All of that is about the kingdom. We receive you into the household of God. Confess the faith of Christ crucified. Proclaim his resurrection. Share with us in his eternal priesthood. It's all about the other. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about the kingdom. We are baptized in the Holy Spirit. We are incorporated into him, his body, which is the church. And so it is absolutely essential that we do not cut ourselves off. How often, so sadly, do we see somebody who gets baptized, gets all excited about the Lord, they get baptized, and then they decide that they can do it by themselves and they go off on their own. Or they get disgruntled and go off on their own. Or they get offended and go off on their own. Or whatever it may be. You are not called to be a Christian in isolation. You are called to be part of the body of Christ. We need each other. We need this fellowship. Ron Filka came to me before the service started. He said, this is so wonderful. It's so good. It's so great to be together in Christ, receiving the body and blood together in communion with each other and with God. It is so important that we make the effort to come and to be together in Him. We need this fellowship. We need this spiritual unity in the body. Jesus said it Himself when He was saying, I'm the vine, you are the branches. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. The branch will die if it's cut off from the vine. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. You are marked as Christ's own forever. You say those words. Jam. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Nobody can take back on, I think it was Christ the King Sunday, I preached a sermon about the ontological change that we experience in baptism. You're a transformed individual by virtue of that sacrament. And nothing can separate you from the love of God, as St. Paul said. Nothing can separate you from Him once you are marked as Christ's own forever. But again, it is for the body. You are marked as Christ's own. You are part of the whole of the body of Christ. And then lastly, you receive the Holy Spirit. He is working in and through us for His kingdom. So what is this baptism in the Holy Spirit? Well, I have an awful lot to say about that, but this is one sermon, okay? But the neat thing is we're in year C of the Eucharistic lectionary, which means right after the first of the year, we're going to get 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, 14, 15. You're going to hear more about it, I assume. The Holy Spirit will be working in that. And I'm not telling the two of you what you need to be preaching. However, take note. There's a lot more that can be told, all right? And so when we receive this baptism in the Holy Spirit, it is edifying for us. But it is also enlivening for the church and, by extension, through us to the world. And so what we need to do today is we need to take time to ask God to revisit us, renew us, revitalize us, make us once again those vibrant vehicles for the Holy Spirit that He has called us to be. And so here's what I would like for you all to do. You may have already been baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. But all of us can always do more. There are more gifts. There's always more in Christ. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is, when you come up to receive Holy Communion today, before you come, I want you to pray about which gift it is that you do not presently practice and ask God to give it to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, it says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. It didn't say earnestly desire the ones that make me happy. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Now, you may be walking in the gift of speaking in tongues. You may be walking in the gift of prophecy. You may be walking in any of the other gifts of the Spirit. But there's always more. You may be a prophet, but what about a healer? What about a worker of miracles? What about the gift of wisdom or the gift of knowledge? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 has 9 gifts that are listed there, and those are not restrictive in any way, shape, or form, because not only does it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 those 9 gifts, but then if you go a little further down, it also includes gifts of helps and teaching and administration. You know, maybe you aren't really gifted in administration and could use that gift right now. That would be awesome. Ask. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Now, more than ever, the church needs to be enlivened in the Spirit, We need to be working in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. There is a world outside that door that is dying for Christ, literally. We sang that song, Speak Jesus. I speak Jesus. Wouldn't it be awesome if God gave you today the gift of prophecy, that when you walk out this door, you could speak Jesus to every person you meet in the street? There's so many of us who are really struggling with things that we don't understand. What about the gift of wisdom? Not so much, help me understand it, Lord, but tell me what to do. I don't have to understand the way of the world, but I do have to understand the way of God. And the gift of wisdom will open that door for me. How about the gift of knowledge? To be able to know, beyond knowing, exactly what God is saying to a specific person at a specific time in a specific way. Wouldn't that be awesome to be able to go up to a complete stranger with a word of knowledge over them and say, God wants you to know whatever it is. The gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of helps, the gift of charity. There's so many there. St. James said, we ask, but we do not receive because we ask wrongly to spend them on our own passions, which is exactly where I found myself back in 1975. I wanted that gift of tongues for me. St. James also said, we do not receive because we do not ask. And I'm telling you today, the word of the Lord for this congregation is, today is the day to ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and that door will be opened for you. So when you come up for communion, Father David and Father Chris will be administering the sacrament, and I'm going to be standing by. Anyone who wants specific prayers for a specific gift, to stay where you are. I'm not going to ask you what gift you're asking for. All I'm going to do is come up after you have received, or you're still kneeling there. I'm going to come up, I'm going to lay hands on you, and I'm going to pray over you in tongues for maybe 10 seconds. That's it. And we are going to believe that God is good to his word, and he will give you the gifts for which you earnestly desire and ask. Okay? Actually, we've had some, you went to Spartanburg with Bishop Adler, same kind, and Diane did too.
Were you there?
Yeah.
Christopher
too. Yeah. Believe me, this comes from the original patriarch, this manner of praying over this. It's something that is truly, truly awesome to experience. So come, pray about what gifts you want, and don't be afraid to ask. It may take you a little time to experience it like it did with me. Of course, you guys are probably better at this than I am, and it won't take you any time at all. You may get up and just start babbling in tongues, and that'll be okay. You may start prophesying at the top of your lungs. That's okay. That'll be good. But believe, as St. James said, ask with no doubting at all. With no doubting at all. For those of you who are at home on Zoom, I'm sorry you can't be here, but stand in agreement with us, and we will stand in agreement with you. And ask at home, after you have received the sacrament, ask for the Lord to give you whatever gift it is that you believe you need right now. And you can ask for more than one. If you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, ask for the Lord to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And God, who is faithful and just, will give us those gifts in accordance with his perfect will. Amen. Amen.